Would you turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 11? Mark, chapter 11. For those of you here last Sunday, you will know this is one of the signature verses that we looked at. We'll be talking more about it, but I want to begin reading. Verse 12, it says, "The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again." His disciples heard him say it. Go to verse 20. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." Verse 22, Jesus said, "Have faith in God. I tell you the truth, if any one of you says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Bow with me. Word of prayer. Father, I thank you again for filling us with your Spirit, who has the ability to open up our hearts and our minds and to understand things of the kingdom of God that a human flesh mind will never grasp. I thank you that you have prepared our hearts today. And I thank you that as your word goes forth to every person here and under the sound of my voice, I thank you, your word will accomplish the purpose for which it is sent. You have declared it will not return void. So we believe that today. Before we begin, Father, I ask for a fresh anointing. Holy Spirit, would you take literal possession of my mind and my mouth? I only want to say those things that I'm hearing you say and do those things that I see you do. The authority you've given in the name of Jesus, I bind up every demonic bird that would seek to snatch and pervert the seed that is going to be sown, and I command you to release every person and be outside the walls of this building in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you again that you are speaking powerfully into the hearts and minds of your children who are yours to you. Thank you that today you are going to say things that are not going to come out of my mouth. Would you let those words be captured? Would you empower those who hear them to be obedient? We believe a single word from you can change everything. So by faith, we give you thanks in advance for what's going to happen in this next week. Because we ask that you empower them to be in the name of Jesus. Everybody believe and say, how many of you were here last week for Sunday service? How many of you were just raising your hand high? Most of you, if you weren't, you to go online on the cast box and kind of listen to the message and lay the foundation for where we're going in the next number of weeks. But last week we began to talk about an area that the enemy of our souls has used more effectively in this world than we as God's kids have. We began by me sharing with you what the Lord asked me to do over these next number of weeks, and this is what he said, Colin. He said, "I want you to teach my children how to curse effectively. I want you to teach my children how to curse effectively. How to do exactly the opposite of what those of the world, those of the flesh, those of the kingdom of darkness do, those who curse what should be blessed and bless what should be cursed." That's what those of the world do. But as children of God, as speaking spirits filled with the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that lived inside of Jesus, we have been empowered and called to be agents in this world to do exactly the opposite of what worldlings do. We are to bless what should be blessed. And we are to curse what should be cursed. We looked at three things last week. The first one, we looked at studies done revealing the power of the spoken word on water and plants. Not just one time, but thousands of times. The difference words of blessing have and the words of cursing spoke words of death to a fig tree. He cursed a plant. As a result of those words, and I want you to know, he didn't do anything else. He didn't touch it. He didn't lay hands on it. He didn't hit it. He didn't wring its neck. He didn't pour anything on it. He didn't dig around it. He spoke to it. He released words to it. Within 24 hours, it died shriveling from the root up. Finally, we went to Numbers, chapter 22. We looked at the account of the Old Testament of Balaam and Balak. Can I ask you, how many of you in this last week took the opportunity to read Numbers 22 to 24? How many of you did that? Just raise your hands. Bless you. Got phone calls from a number of you and said, wow, that is a loaded passage, and we had conversation about it. If you haven't done it, I encourage you to do it. We talked about Balaam being known even to those in a godless world. He was known as a man who had the power to bless and to curse. The statement about him was, what you bless is blessed, and what you curse is cursed. That's how he was known. He was asked to come and to curse the people of Israel. He was going to be paid handsomely for doing it. We know the outcome. Praise God, he was only able to say what God told him to say, and as a result, instead of cursing God's people, three times he released a blessing, and as a result of it, made it stronger against his enemy and not weak. That is what the power of his blessing did. Today I need to share with you the six greatest sources of cursing in our lives. The six greatest sources of cursing in our lives. These are not definitely the only sources, but I believe these may be the greatest sources that the enemy uses to steal, kill, and destroy in a person's life. Before we do that, would you turn with me to the book of James chapter 3? If you have your Bible, I want you to go there. I'd like you to get your eyes on it. Right after the book of Hebrews, the book of James. James chapter 3. I want to encourage you to read through the entire chapter, but I want to begin reading out of verse 7 all the way down to verse 10. And would you hear what the Holy Spirit reports? All kinds of animals and birds, reptiles and creatures, are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Let me say that last part. My brothers, this should not be. Before we get into this, we need to make a distinction very clear here. The difference between effective godly cursing and destructive ungodly cursing. I need to make this very clear. Godly cursing. It almost sounds like an oxymoron only because we haven't understood it and we haven't used it as the powerful weapon that it is. But godly cursing speaks death to that which should be dead. It's alive, but we speak death and it dies. That's godly cursing. Ungodly cursing speaks death to what should be alive. It is alive and it is cursed, and as a result, it begins to die. That is ungodly cursing. Let me make this clear, and we know this to be true. Words have power. Whether they are spoken by a believer in Christ, or whether they're spoken by an atheist, or whether they are spoken by a Satanist, words have power. question is, when those words are released, are they bringing life or are they bringing death? Today, let's look at the six greatest sources of ungodly curses, destructive curses, that speak death to that which should have life. If you have your notepads, God bless all of you who do. You are writing. I would like you to make a list here. Would you write down number one? Would you write down parents? Parents. I will never forget when Craig Hill, in his Ancient Paths seminar, made a statement, and this was it. He said, parents are the number one agent of the enemy in their children's lives. Let me say it again. Parents are the number one agent of the enemy in their parents' lives. Let me make this really clear. He didn't say the cartoons on Saturday morning. He didn't say the teacher at the school. He didn't say the kids down the block. He didn't say the music they're listening to on the radio. He said, parents are the number one agent of the enemy in their children's lives. Speaking death into their children, cursing them destructively. I want to tell you this. Words have power regardless of who they're spoken by. But I want you to hear the words that come from the highest authority in a child's life are God-like words. In a child's life, parents are the highest authority. Nobody else's words have as great a power in their lives. Let me give you some examples. Have you ever heard of a parent of a young child? And I have had this happen I don't know how many times. I come up to the parent and the child slides around behind the parent's legs. I go down to say hi to the child, and the parent says to me, oh, they're just shy. Don't worry about it. You ever heard that? Let me ask you, when not just you heard those words, but more importantly, when that child heard those words, what happens to them? Let me just say this. As a child thinketh, so... Let me ask you, do you think that parent only said to their child one time, oh, my child is so shy? Do you think they only said it one time? You know that parent said it over and over. That parent justified the child's behavior. They've said it 100 times, if not 1,000 times. That child has heard over and over and over again, my child is shy. My child is shy. My child is shy. And that child on the inside begins to own those words and going, that is just who I am. Craig Hill said, cursing is like taking poison and pouring it onto a plant. How many children have heard from their parents? You are such a difficult child. How many children have ever heard a parent say, you ruined my life? How many parents have ever said to their kid, you are so flippin' lazy? children are cursed. That is not how God intended it. The home is to be a place where not poison, but fresh water, living water, miracle grow is to be continually poured on the plant of our children. Praise God, He is able to make it happen in any home that lets Him. Did you write down number two? Did you write down our marriage partner? One of the greatest sources of the curse, our marriage partner. I want to make this really clear here. I am not even going to talk about those couples living together. I'm not going to talk about that, because in those relationships, there is already a curse. And I'm not going to talk about the children that are birthed in relationships where they're living together, because the Bible says every child born in an unwed relationship already has curse on them. But I'm not talking about that today. I just want to talk about those relationships that God ordained, husband and wife in the marriage. I will never forget when the Lord said to me in the midst of counseling, the Lord said, Colin, every marriage is killed by words. Every marriage is killed with words. What I'm going to say, I want to tell you straight up, I'm going to say this with love, and I want to say this with sensitivity, because so many of you in here have been affected by this, and some of you are still being affected by this. I just want you to know that I know that. So what I'm going to say is love. The marriage relationship is one relationship that is meant to build up and not tear down. In fact, in the vows that we use when we marry couples at the church here, we have the partners say to one another, I promise to build you up with my words. I promise to build you up with my words, just as Christ builds me up with His words. That's in the vows. Yet how often when the mouth is opened in the marriage relationship, out of it pours curse words, out of it pours brackish, out of it pours poison. Can I ask you, do words have power of death in a marriage? We know they do. I want to tell you honestly, we've all released them. I've released them. And I want to tell you, we've all received them. I will never forget when Andrew Walmack said, when his son was dead in the morgue, he was driving back to go. He and his wife were driving back 5 hours away in their vehicle. He made this statement. His son was dead, and he went, I could have killed him if he had. His son is in the morgue, and he's driving back, and he goes, I could have killed him in the car. And this is what he meant. It wasn't his son's physical condition that determined his outcome. It was the words spoken by others that surrounded him that would determine it. Did you hear it? It's not his physical. It's the words around him. Andrew said, I could not say what was going through my mind. Could I just say to you, some of you need to hear that. There's a pile of things go through your mind that should never come out of your mouth. Andrew said, I could not say what was going through my mind, and I found this more profound. He said, I could not speak what I was feeling. I could not speak what I was feeling. Can I say this again? There's a pile of you. Your feelings are Lord in your life. And if you feel it, you say it. Andrew said, I could not say what I was feeling. He said, if I did, I would have killed him. And I tell you, that was true in his son's life. That is more true than every marriage. I often can't say what's going through my mind. Jane often says to me, Paul, I can't tell you what's going on in my mind. She's protecting our marriage. is often spoken in spite of the reputation that has been spread around sometimes. I'm not anti-medical, I'm not anti-doctor, I'm not anti-medicine. I praise God for the wisdom and insight that God has revealed to the medical world down through time. I wouldn't be alive today if it wasn't for it, and most of you wouldn't be either. Praise God for it, wouldn't you? But let me say, like in every area, what God meant for good, the enemy will take and use it for evil. Without God in one's life, the words of doctors are powerful. The joke has often been made, doctors think they're God. Well, do you know why they think they're God? Because when they say something, everybody just automatically believes it. Well, if the doctor said it, that has got to be true. But I believe without even realizing it, the enemy uses them to speak words of death, uses them to curse that which is meant to live. How often have we heard a doctor say to someone, and maybe say to you, "You've only got 3 months to live." And the moment they say it, patient walks out the door and someone asks them, "How did it go?" And they go, "I've only got 3 months to live." What the hell? How often have patients heard someone, the doctor, say, you will never walk again? And they get wheeled out of the room and somebody asks them and they go, "How did it go?" They go, "I will never walk again." How often has a doctor said to somebody, "You will be on antidepressants your entire life. If you ever stop taking them, your life will fall apart." How often has a doctor said to somebody, "Your condition is only going to get worse"? How often has a doctor said, "He's dead. Pull the machines off. There's no hope"? As the doctor said, "What you have here is broken." Don't tell me that when words are spoken by a physician that they don't have power. Those cursed words have killed more people than we could ever imagine. You know why? Because people receive the curse, they believe the curse, they begin speaking the curse, and it manifests. People who were not meant to die, but to live and fulfill the purpose for which God created them. The curse killed them. I will never forget. When Malachi was in the hospital in London, Ontario, I just want to say again, thank you. There are some of you who have every day lifted my granddaughter up before the Lord. You are still going and declaring until we see him as an angel. I know some of you who are walking out of sight, out of mind. That's just absolutely amazing. But some of you, your home is still there. I want to bless you for that. And I will never forget what Malachi did, the statement. They were in the London hospital, London, Ontario, like a contracted E. coli. And I want to tell you that hospital, they said, was the best hospital in the world for anybody who got E. coli. They had one. I can tell you the stories. It was the best one. But Malachi said, he said his biggest job when he was with Micah 24-7 for about 9 months in the hospital, he said his biggest job was to undo the words spoken over Micah by well-meaning medical staff when they left the room. He said, "If I hadn't broken off those curses spoken over her, she'd have been dead a long time." Can I say this to you? Do the words of the medical doctor have the power to curse you? Words of death spoken over. says, if it hates me and you follow me, it's going to hate you too. Let me tell you straight up, as children of God, we have enemies. As children of God, we have those who oppose us. As children of God, the world hates us. I experienced a taste of that during COVID, standing in the bank. Made one comment to a senior lady who came unglued, and I still don't believe it was her, but a demon speaking through her to me. In the bank, because of my faith comment. We'll talk another week about how to bless those curses. Can I tell you, we have enemies. It may not be that we face enemies every day the way that the people of Israel do. I can hardly imagine in Israel, being a Jew, being surrounded by millions of people who want to wipe you off the face of the earth, millions of people whose agenda is to eradicate you, millions of people who say, we want to push you into the Mediterranean until every last one of you is drowned. I don't think any one of us have had an enemy who come and said that to our face. They have. We as believers have enemies. Those enemies don't have much of anything good to say about us. I want to just say this, and keep your eyes posted on some of the leaders we have. I will never forget when Hillary Clinton made the statement, if you are Christian, you are entitled. I will never forget when our Prime Minister made the statement, if you're Christian, you are bigoted because you're not inclusive. Reading this past week, and we're going to look at it in detail another time, 1 Samuel chapter 17. Do you know that when Saul and the Israelite army were on one side of the valley, and we stood there, for those of us who went to Israel, we stood in the valley where the battle took place, and we went down to the creek, I picked up stones, some of you have been there, it was awesome. When Saul and the Israelite army was on this side of the creek, and on that side were the Philistines and Goliath, do you know that for 40 days, Goliath came down to the valley? Do you know what he did during those 40 days? He cursed. The Bible says he cursed the God of Israel. The Bible said he cursed King Saul. The Bible said he cursed the Jewish people. But when David went out against him, the Bible says Goliath also cursed him. We're going to look at that later. Goliath cursed David. He released words of death and defeat over him, over the Israelite army, over the Israelite's God. That's what the enemy does. Unfortunately, the enemy of Christ does it better than we do. But I want you to understand something. Goliath cursed David, but do you know that when David went out under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, do you know that David cursed God? Let me tell you, when you're here, the greatest power what they do. They release words that are not undone. How powerful of an effect that curse has, let me tell you. Pastors who have been derailed in immoral relationships as a result of the curse. Did you know that pastors' marriages have been destroyed as a result of satanic curses that have been released against them? Did you know that ministries have been destroyed, churches have been divided and dissolved, Christians have been filled with fear and left immobilized and ineffective because of satanic curses? Let me tell you, the Satanists know how to curse. Better than you. What a pitiful statement to say to satanic church. Thank you. gate of death over that which is meant to be alive. Meant to be strong, meant to be healthy, meant to be powerful. How many times have we heard someone say something? Your thought is, they are killing themselves. I have to tell you, I would love to say it is only non-believers who do this. Wouldn't that be awesome? Only non-believers curse themselves. Wouldn't that be awesome? Tell you what you know, Christians are just as bad and sometimes worse. Out of this mouth comes praise to God, and the next moment comes cursing on itself. James says, this ought not to be. Until we see it, until we get a revelation of it, and Holy Spirit empowers us to tame this tongue. I will never forget when Kenneth Copeland said, most of us need duct tape over our mouth until we get this. Stop the damage! This tongue is meant for blessing. It is meant for life. It is meant for truth. Until we get to a point where we catch ourselves when those curse words come out, we hear it and we go, I renounce that. In the name of Jesus, I renounce those words. I command them to be dead. I declare a crop failure in my life. And then we release words of life. We release words of blessing. We release words of truth over us. Let me tell you what you already know. The power of the curse is alive and well. The enemy knows the power of words better than most of us. And if he can keep it that way, he's with it. But let me tell you, if we ever get revelation, if we are ever transformed by the renewing of our mind, not only will we undo the curses in our life already, not only will we begin speaking blessing on that which should live, but we will begin cursing that.